Brisbane, Australia. This is episode 68 of The Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40k experience. I'm Zanny, and today we've got Luke.
Hey guys, how we doing?
And Liam.
Back in action and happy to be here.
Alright, so we've got a really special episode today. We're going to start breaking down some of the lists that the players have submitted for the Brisbane 40k GT that we're running. And we've got a really cool twist on today's episode. Today, for those who are listening, it will be Friday morning for those who are listening when we release it, and the pairings will be up, and we're going to live break down the pairings for the tournament. So we haven't seen them yet. We're about to look at them. We're about to start round one, and it's going to be awesome. But I guess before we start, how you guys going? How you doing, Luke?
Yeah, good, man. Yeah, excited to kick off this tournament. It's going to be one of the first major tournaments or majors in Brisbane. Yeah. So it'll be exciting after the COVID isolation.
Yeah, man. And Liam, you painted a guardsman yet?
Every single guardsman is painted. My hands might be covered in, oh gee, what is this called? The mud technical. Gee, I can't even remember. Sterling mud. I might be like 80% contrast paint in terms of my bloodstream, but I am ready to go.
It's the mud of Valhalla.
You know what's crazy?
It's pain and suffering is what it is.
Liam, you've painted like 120 guardsmen in the same time I've needed to paint like 10 terminators, and you beat me.
Yeah, but also you're using the word painted quite loosely. Like, I think by many people's standard, what I've done is abuse some models.
I've had to paint four models.
It actually looks surprisingly good. Yeah. It almost hurts.
I've had to paint four models for this tournament, and Liam's beat me to it. But I was going to kick it straight off to Luke to break down the lists at the event and, you know, the split of the meta. It's spring, everyone, and for those of you who know me, I get pretty bad hay fever. I'm pretty congested, so I'm going to let Luke do the talking. Hit it.
Sounds good. So, courtesy down on the pairings, it's actually got the stats breakdown of all the lists and breaks them down by faction and also by army. So not only do we have like a an overarching faction, Imperium Chaos, etc., we have the individual armies themselves. So interestingly, I think with, you know, all the changes in the meta, we were expecting to have well, some would say that we expected salamanders to be prevalent or highly prevalent in the meta. But what we see is actually a really nice spread across the field of many different armies. It's almost actually quite evenly spread across a lot of factions. And it's actually really beautiful. Liam and I were talking about this earlier, and Liam, you can extend on this, and it's really awesome to see that not one army constitutes 50% of the field, but, you know, every army is represented equally. So what do you think about it, Liam?
I mean, when you look at some of the events overseas, I'm thinking particularly of that Flying Monkey GT that occurred semi-recently. Not only were Marines 40-something percent of all of the armies, like that's not even Imperium, that's just Adeptus Astartes Primary, were like 40-something percent of the field. But of that 40-something percent, the majority of it were Salamanders, suggesting that there is a single dominant list in that meta that a lot of people are kind of just copy-pasting. You take that over to this event here in Brisbane, and not only are Adeptus Astartes not the most common army, which is hilarious in terms of primary faction, but the Marine lists that are coming are a reasonable amount of diversity. Like, you're looking at a few Space Wolves army, an Imperial Fist army, a Salamanders army, yes, but you've actually got a bit of diversity across the field, which I think is just, not only is it awesome for the players who've decided to branch out and play new things, but it's awesome for the other players as well. You don't want to go to an event and play four games against the same army over and over and over again. That's not why you come to a tournament. The fact that there's a good diversity of lists is going to be so much fun, especially for people who this is their first significant tournament. I'm really excited for what that means for the Brisbane meta.
Oh, yeah. Like, I totally agree.
It's definitely
exciting,
and it's awesome to see that there's a lot of names that I don't see fairly often at tournaments, which is, you know, it's spectacular to have people come to these tournaments and especially when the diversity is so good in terms of army lists. It's really good to see that. So, if we break it down. Oh, sorry, Liam, you go.
I was just going to say, to cut to the chase, I guess, with the list. Luke, what is the most common primary faction at this event?
It's funny. It would be Adeptus Custodes.
Yeah. I'm just so glad that it's not Space Marines.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It is beautiful. Yes.
So granted, we do have a smaller sample size. What, we've got 40 players? I think it's about 40. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's 40 bang on. 40
bang on. Yeah, cool. I wasn't sure if any dropped. So 40 bang on, we've got, four Custodes players. And that's interesting because Custodes with OBSEC, the new missions and the new rules for Custodes, I mean, that it just seems like their time to shine, which is probably about time. You know, they've had Marines come in, their little brother come in and just overshadow them. Now it's finally time for them to have a bit of fair game, I guess. Next we'd have, Chaos. Chaos is the next most prevalent faction. We've got 3 Chaos players, and I think this encompasses Demons here, if I'm correct.
I think it's whoever's put their major faction is just Chaos, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
No, so in Chaos as well, we have, there you go. So we've got, Chaos is the major faction. There's a Thousand Suns player as well, which I guess can fall into that category as well. We've also got a Chaos Demons. There's 4 lists of Chaos Demons.
Three
Demons and 1 Slaanesh list, which technically. Yep. So that's 4 total there. And then Grey Knights. Yeah. Awesome to see, Grey Knights.
Well, we've got 3 even of Grey Knights, Harlequins, Necrons, Tyranids, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And the same again for Astartes, the overarching faction, although there are sub-factions like Blood Angels, whatever. Admech, Eldari, Death Guard, and Space Wolves, all at 2 lists in the 40.
It's a really interesting spread.
Mm-hmm. And then just Assault and Pepper, a few other ones. That's the major overarching factions.
One thing that I think is quite cool about some of the armies coming is that you actually have a couple of people playing archetypes of lists that have been, you've been told they're bad. Like the idea of the Horde meta being bad, or the character spam being bad in the current meta, depending on what podcasts and information you listen to. And I think that, like, for example, we'll talk about specific lists maybe, but Eric Lather is playing Horde Nids, really interested in Rory Argent playing character spam Thousand Suns. I'm actually really liking that some of these armies are still getting the love that they deserve, but moreover, they're actually really strong in their own hands.
Yeah.
I mean, for those people who are new to coming to tournaments, and there's a few players out there who are, there's a lot of research you have to do, I think, before the weekend, if you want to know what some of these armies do, because they're actually pretty niche. They're not all going to be on Boonhammer. Explain.
there's definitely, like, a lot of weird, interesting lists that even I've looked at, and even in factions that I'm playing, like some of the Marine lists that are there, some of the, you know, other Imperium lists that are there, some of the Sisters lists with some allies going, wow, this is something I need to really think about how it plays, you know? There's this one guard list, Liam, that, you know, has really, really surprised me.
Guard are bad.
So, hey, Luke, are you ready to take us down this beautiful path of pairings?
Yes.
Are we ready to load it up?
Yes, I've got it right here.
Ooh.
So you go ahead, Luke.
You go, Luke. No, I'll be too polite.
Oh, I don't know who's going first now. I'm panicking.
Fine, I'll take it. Whatever. Look, all I was going to say is that for everyone listening, this will obviously be the pairings on the day. There is a bit of a proviso here that obviously emergencies happen prior to tournaments. Some people double book themselves. Some people just get a bit too drunk the night before and decide not to come on the Saturday. For whatever reason, you always have dropouts on the Saturday of an event, sometimes on the second day too. And if that happens, some of these pairings might change and they'll be done manually on the day. But all of us are hoping that what we're about to talk about will represent an almost accurate picture of what the pairings are going to be, and we're keen to chat about some of the interesting ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what did we want to cover first? Just the key ones? Because we've got some very interesting pairings here. So, Denith, do you want me to cover yours first? That might be interesting.
I actually think we just go down the list. Because these are, like, totally random.
Down the list, man. Yeah, don't leave anyone out.
They're, they're not, there's no table number assigned to them, so we're obviously not going to tell players what table they're on, but yeah, we'll just go down the list. The first one's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's Eric versus Braden Kilby Francis.
Yep.
That's first. Do we want to cover what they're running?
Or well, we'll just do a brief a brief archetype of it. Like, Eric's got the Horde-style Gaunts with the new units and the GSC patrol, right? Or the GSC detachment.
Yeah, that's right. So
he
he's got,
definitely does.
And then Braden's got the Salamanders, Leviathan, with the Eradicators and Aggressors. So, what do you guys think?
I mean, I look at this and I have a big giggle because, Tyranids are obviously not in the best place at the moment. But by the same token, the Salamanders are totally ready with their melter guns to fight big tanks. And there's not many of those in the Tyranid army. I mean, he's got, over 100 shit pusher bodies that are worth absolutely nothing. And there's only so many of those Eradicators and stuff can kill. So this is actually a really interesting game, like Green Marines versus Green Bugs. I'm keen to see how this plays.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. I would expect the Marines to have the advantage, but, you know, we all know Eric. We all know what he can do.
So, it's a god among mere mortals, yep.
Yeah.
So, next pairing.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to Jay Hansen, who's playing, the Chaos Demons?
We got a lot to cover, so yeah, that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, we'll keep it quick. So he's got Chaos Demons, he's got a Keeper of Secrets. You know, big demon, scary demon bodies. Yeah. He's even got Magnus in the list.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Christopher King.
And I believe, is that Death Guard?
He's got the Death Guard.
Wait a second. Death Guard. Sick. Death Guard. So it's a Poxmonger's Death Guard. So, Plague Marines. Ooh. Full of Plague Marines, some Mephitic Black Haulers, and some Plagueless Crawlers. So, that's interesting. We'll see if the demons can break that. It's gonna be hard work.
He's got the Great Unclean
You missed like the next detachment.
Oh, sorry, bro. So there's a Great Unclean one in there too. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Christopher, for running a Great Unclean one. Well
now
done.
That's sick because just double checking the Great Unclean one with his bell can restore. Yes, he's. Wait a minute. He does have the bell. Yeah, the Doomsday Bell. Mm-hmm. The Doomsday Bell is at the start of each of your turns. You roll the dice, and on a 4+. You get one unit back in a Chaos Demons of Nurgle unit, and that actually applies to the Mephitic Blighthaulers. So on a 4+, you get back a 8 wound, toughness 7, Death Guard tank. With obscuring rules the way that they are, that's actually a sick combo. You can hide the Great Unclean One and have like a revolving door of demons, tanks. I think it's awesome. I've actually really wanted to give that a go.
Wow, that's really awesome. Cool, man.
Yeah, I never heard of that. That's actually sick.
Grey Knights don't really care. But otherwise.
Maybe. We'll see. So next we've got up Jonathan Webb, who's running Chaos Space Marines, bunch of Terminators, Combi Players. He's got some Chaos Knights as well, which is interesting. Got a Knight Despoiler, 2 War Dogs, that should be cool. Versus Danny Gillies.
I believe it's Danny Giles. It's my boy Danny Giles, running Custodes, bro.
There we go.
Yeah.
Shadowkeep.
So the Custode list I'm running has a bigger Alaris bomb. Danny's list is awesome. It's got 4 min units of Custode Guard. It's got an Alaris brick. It's got a couple of palaces, and it's got a Telemann. So it's a Custode army that actually has a lot of range on the board. So I'm really interested to see how he'll go.
Yeah, that's a nice list. 5 guards with 1 storm shield each. Pretty durable troops, man.
Sorry, yeah, 5 guardsman units, not 4.
Even scarier.
Yeah.
Alright, next we've got Kirk Dutton on the Krons. How interesting. I think there's 2 Krons players, is that right?
There's 3, mate. There's 3. There's Nathan Jai and Kirk.
That's triple the number of guard players.
Yeah, so what was I saying? Sorry.
Kirk's on Necrons. He's got a lot of the newer units, which is pretty cool. He's got the Scorpic destroyers and stuff. He's running some Mephrits, I believe. So they got some extra AP on their guns for the Immortals, which is nice, and the Warriors. And then we've got some Scorpics and stuff, and a couple of big shooters. Well, we've got an Annihilation Barge and a Transcendent Catan. So it's a pretty well balanced Necron list for the missions, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. And he's versing Zach Morgan, the fellow Grey Knights player.
Yeah, on the GK, running. Mate.
Yes, he's running two Grey Master Nemesis Dreadknights. Similar to me, I'm running three. It's not a good idea, but I wanted to do it anyway. he's done the two Grey Master Nemesis Dreadknights strike squads, Paladin Bomb with the Paladin Ancient. And the Paladin Ancient's great because it gives everyone plus one attack.
Yeah.
He's also running the Relic with Gorium Scrolls, which is awesome because exploding sixes to hit.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's got an Inceptor squad as well. And those things have actually really started liking them because they're basically your jump troops. They're basically Marines with jump packs because they move 12 inches.
Nice.
And they can teleport. So,
awesome. That's pretty sick. Yeah, he's definitely got the shots to do with Necrons, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And then we've got Nick Argent versus Andre. So, I know Andre is another Grey Knight player. I've played him at BGC. But what's Nick running?
He's playing Chaos Knights by the looks of it.
Oh, what a champion. What an absolute champion.
This is it's a super heavy detachment, House Commenters, which is a cool one. It's when you're at half wounds or less, you add one to your melee attacks and you get a 5-up feel no pain in the psychic phase. Nice. That's a cool loop because it works even if you Edict Imperator and shoot him with guns in the psychic phase. Just a 5-up for the whole psychic phase. He's got looks like a double Avenger. Yep, cool. So he's got a double Avenger Despoiler with the Warlord trait that counters Obsec. And 10 models, nonetheless, which is pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
He's also got another Despoiler with, what's this one called? Avenger Thermal. So he's got three big knights, four big knights. One of them's a melee one. Jeez, hang on.
Nice.
And they're all fully decked out. They've all got they've all got relics, they've all got carapace weapons. He's really decked those out. So he's putting four models on the table.
What a champ.
Which is very, very elite.
And he's playing pretty cool. He's playing Andre who's running double Pally GK with three strike squads and a Vendred. So it'll be hard work for the GK to crack the knights, but I guess they have the damage, right?
Dude, I tell you what, you're approaching the lowest number of models on a table possible there.
Yeah.
Chaos Knights.
Yeah, true. So that'll be really interesting. Who's next on our list, boys?
Rory versus Matt Kinman. Rory, as you said before, Liam, he's run the character spam T-Suns, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rory's list has Maggie in it, RMR, a couple of Demon Princes, but also some Demon Engines. So he's got, the last time I saw his list, he had more Fiends and Helldrakes. But having a look at his list now, he's actually got some Rhinos in there now, and they had a few little changes. What's really cool about Rory's list, he's got a couple of Rubik Marine units rolling around that kind of deep strike or do other powers to, just sort of, they're actually quite annoying to shift because the firepower you want to put into tactical Marine bodies is all damage one, and then they're all his dust rule triggers. So sitting in cover, those Marines sometimes have a one-up save, which is actually really, really annoying to deal with. I'm a big fan of the Rubik Marines, and they're a bit expensive, but for what you get, I think it's actually like appropriate value.
It's
actually a really good list at the moment because it does so much mortal wounds that it's fully ready to play. For example, Custodes and Marines, I think it's actually quite ready to rumble.
Yep, I don't want to touch anything to do with that list.
Matt Kinman. Running the Custodes against that list.
Oh, Matt. My boy, Matt. Go strong, mate.
Yeah, so Rory's punches out a lot of mortal wounds, but we know the Custodes have the guts to put on some damage and retaliation, so...
Yeah, I guess in some respects, like, there are ways to get secondaries off that kind of Chaos Army, but yeah, the damage output coming out of the smites and the combat is pretty heavy. But, Matt's got... A really nice custard. I mean, he's got a Laris brick, he's got a unit of bikes, and he's got a couple of shield captains, which is nice. So, So yeah, it is running Shadow Keepers like all the other custodes are, so it's good.
I think next Luke, you're on the chopping block.
Yeah. Yep, that's me. Yep. I'm versing.
You're up against Matt Hansen.
That's right. So Matt's is the sisters list with custodies sprinkled in there. So his is basically a bunch of sister squads with multi melters. I think it's what, 6 or 7 squads, can't even count. And a few characters. It's Valorous Heart, so ignores AP 1 and 2, which we're seeing a lot of in this meta. I think it's a really strong trait. 2 Zephyrim squads, and then it's a custodies heavy support with 3 Caladius grab tanks. So everything in that list is terrifying to me because the multi melters can pick how much damage they do, which is terrifying against a list that is full of vehicles. So I'm running 3 Grandmaster Dreadknights, 2 Dreadnoughts with Twin Lands and Fist, 10 man Terminus squad, 2 strikes and 1 5-man strike. So I am very afraid of everything in his list, and he ignores AP 1 and 2, which is the max AP I can get, so I hope that he fails a lot of 3-up saves. That's basically...
Man, right. Straight up, I'm just gonna, like, I promise, not a big tangent, but how weird is it that a Dreadknight is a vehicle, but a Riptide is not? That makes no sense.
Yeah, and also, you know what makes no sense? You put a Dreadnought beside a Dreadknight, the Dreadnought's a higher toughness than the Dreadknight. Yeah, the Dreadnought's twice the size.
It's like half the size.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I'm not looking forward to this because the Caladius grab tanks, they do D3 plus 3 damage and they're reroll wounds against vehicles, so.
Oh my god.
There's that, and then there's multi melters that pick their hits and wounds and damage against me, so it's going
to
be a
rough. Welcome time. To the pain train, Luke. I'm sorry.
I don't have my mortal wounds with me. I forgot to pack them in my bag, but. Let's see how we go. Should be an interesting, fun game.
Luke, you're known for losing the greens and winning the reds, right?
Prove us wrong, Luke. Prove us wrong.
Oh, this next one's cool. Next. We got Chris Robinson versus Mikey Mientjes. We've got Eldar and Harlequins versus Eldar and Harlequins. Hermano v. Hermano.
I'm not going to lie. Voting for Michael, because he's got the Avatar Arcane.
Yeah.
Full respect to the Avtav, mate. Mikey actually messaged in earlier.
The thing about this matchup is, no matter who wins, Eldar are going to die, and that makes the Imperium happy.
No matter who wins, Slaanesh wins, so we're good.
That one Slaanesh player is going to be like, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, Mikey's running Avatar Kane, bunch of Falcons, 2 Wraith Lords, and then a bunch of Harlequin troops with some fusion, Death Duster Solitaire and Star Weaver. So a bunch of troops and transports, with the Avatar. Yep. Really cool. Really interesting.
Yeah. And, I believe Chris has got, a couple Crimson Hunters, some minions of players rolling around, some support platforms, so he's kind of got like a back line of shooting and some planes, and he's got the Harlequins to do some obsec, so, and he's got some Skyweaver bikes as well, so it'll be really cool to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's going to be really, really cool. Chris has been actually giving me a couple of games recently to sort of learn how to play the Eldar a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Michael, I love you a long time, but I have to back my man Chris on this one.
The protege. The Eldar killer.
Next, speaking of Eldar and things that can kill Eldar, next we have Brian playing Harlequins versus Daniel Burns. That's Brian Lakeland versus Daniel Burns. And Daniel's playing Chaos Space Ranger, look at it. So Brian's got mono Harlequins, what an absolute beast.
Yeah.
He's got 3 units of the Skyweavers, 2 units of 5 and a unit of 2, just a little one. A whole bunch of characters, the double buff Shadow Seer. He's all... Oh, gee, what's the one where you get the extra attack when you charge?
Shock Assault.
No, Frozen Stars, dude.
So he's playing Shock Assault Harlequins. Good work. you know, he's got, 2 big blobs of players and all the characters to buff them up, and then 3 small units of players with 4 pistols rolling around in a boat. I absolutely love the little boats filled with, fusion pistol, like they're really, really annoying units to play around, and Pythagoras himself couldn't play it better than Brian. So, look, end of the day, I think Brian is always going to be really effective with that list. He's an absolute beast.
I played Brian today. But he smashed me.
Daniel Burns up next. This is cool. This is, and I haven't seen some of these models in a while, but the thing is, I wrote a very similar list to this, so I'm really excited. This list is Emperor's Children. Emperor's Children is one of those Chaos Space Marine Legions you don't really see too much, but boy, they actually have some crazy, crazy good strats.
Yeah.
So 3 Disco Lords, 4 units of Noise Marines, Maul of Fiend, 2 units of Obliterators, and double Helldrake. Now, the thing that's awesome about units like, obviously a Slaanesh Army, everything can double shoot. They've also got stratagems for every time you kill a model, you get an extra attack. Automatically roll a 6 on one of the dice for a charge and other stuff like that, which just makes delivering some of these units awesome. But I'm actually really excited about this. This is literally Slaanesh versus Harlequins. You couldn't have a fluffier game if you tried.
That's very cool.
Who we got next? We got Jordan Bennett, our very own. Jordan's running the... Oh, sorry, I should refer to him as Sanguinius. Sanguinius himself is running...
It's three Sangbricks and a Death Company brick, mate. Like,
yep,
how many hammers brick. Could I put into 2,000 points?
Yeah. Too many is the answer. He's got 3 Sangard bombs, which are terrifying. Death Company bomb and curses. So, very, very strong list. It's supported by a bunch of characters, of course. And the Feel No Pain banner? Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah.
Don't leave home without it. Versus Ross Jenkins.
Yeah, so Ross is also running Mono Harlequins, which is really cool. He's got 10 bikes, very similar to Brian's list, actually. 2 big units of players, 3 mini units of players. He's got a total of 4 Star Weavers. He's got Shadowseer, Troopmaster, DJ, and a Solitaire. So it's very, very similar to Brian's list. But it's Midnight Sorrow, which is really interesting. And I believe
is Midnight... Is that the one where when you die on a 4-up, you do something?
I think that's Dreaming Shadow. I think Midnight Sorrow is the one where you can fight on death. I can't remember what they actually give. Luke.
Midnight Sorrow makes your Solitaire crazy. Yeah. And I think the characters can fight on death. I'll double check and just reiterate if I'm wrong. But we'll keep going in the meantime.
Yeah, that's it. So that's a really interesting game because... like, Jordan has 4 big-hitting bombs, while the Harlequins have 2 bombs, but they've got all these other auxiliary units they can also punch on. So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays. On top of that, Jordan's OBSEC is kind of a frontline force, while Ross's OBSEC is kind of everywhere in these little player units. So, yeah, that'll be really cool to see.
So, just to clarify, Midnight Sorrow can consolidate... 6 inches, sorry. And they also can move an additional D6 when they fall back. Very interesting. So very hit and runny. But they also have the, fight on death.
Yeah. Fight on death strat.
Which makes the Solitaire an absolute anti-Jimmy ballistic missile that you just fire at your opponent's lines.
Yeah. He just goes in and takes 3 people down with him.
Nice. Yeah. So weird. Look. Next, the next pairings, I'm just really excited for primarily because A, it's Matthew McArdle versus Rob Hambley, but also Rob Hambley has the most expensive dollars-wise 40k army I have potentially ever seen. If you buy this army firsthand, you have sold your firstborn and both of your kidneys to purchase it, and I have nothing but respect for you, Rob.
You want to know Cooper, something?
Keep making.
You want to know something awesome, Liam? He bought this in like 2 weeks.
Dude.
Yeah, Rob's an absolute fiend.
I'm gonna buy you a beer, mainly because I'm pretty sure you can't buy food now, but I will buy you a beer on the day.
He's been coming to the BGC classes, and he's picked this army up in a couple of weeks, and he's painted it to a pretty good level. Yeah. So run us through it, Liam.
If your army is bought and fully painted, I'll buy you 2 beers. I'll make that up to you. So he's a mono Slaanesh Demons army, which is a special place in my heart. I played something similar to this a little while ago, and I loved it. It was just so hard to play. It's double Keeper of Secrets, Silesque, the Vengeful Alliance, which is kind of like the, you know, clowns riding on top of each other with whips and stuff. Multiple units of Demonettes, a big unit of 20, and a couple of units of 10. a unit of fiends, a unit of seekers, some seeker chariots, and then a smaller detachment with the contorted epitome, the Master of Slaanesh, and some more demonettes. This is ballistically fast, wants to hit you, wants to lock you in combat, has the durability of a wet tissue, but other than that, boy, does it kill things fast.
Yeah.
Man, I hope this list cleans up and does well, mainly because he's put a lot of time into it, but also it's up against Matthew McArdle, who I believe is playing Black Legion, another list.
Well, Matt is actually playing Mono. He's playing Mono Zeech Demons. Yeah, Mono Zeech, man. He's going to be sick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I played against him last week in a little practice game. He's running a lock, a bunch of characters, some Flamer Bricks, some Horror Bricks. So a lot of models, a lot of OBSEC, a lot of explosive damage, which I really like. So yeah, I'm keen to see how he goes. It's kind of like the shooting demons versus the charging demons here.
This is actually really cool.
Yeah, this matchup is awesome.
That is going to be fun as to watch, because you've got, you know, horde clearing demons shooting, but also the Slaanesh demons can lock the other demons in combat, and you can no longer do psychic powers when you fall back.
Yep.
So it's like this weird dichotomy of, I would so want to watch this game. That's so cool.
Yeah, I'll finish my game early and just get tabled and come and watch this game because it looks awesome.
that's going to be cool.
Also, Matt's army, I have to say, is beautifully painted. Have you seen it? It's awesome.
Yeah, it's sick, man.
Yeah, he sent a photo and all the bases and everything. Beautiful. So
he's got little nice blue gemstones and stuff on there. Like, I'm expecting him to do well in the player's choice. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, it's me next.
Yeah. So, James Keller. Do you run through your list first?
It's just like all the other 9 custode lists in our tournament. I got the Slippery Shield Captain with Unstoppable Destroyer, I got Trajan, I got some Custode Guard, got an Alaris Brick, got a Telamon, got a Banner, and then I got a patrol of Iron Gorgon Scions and some Servitors for Deploy Scramblers, and I'm up against, James Keller, who I think is running the, like, mechanized Orc Boys with some Meganobs and stuff, which is gonna be sick.
Yeah, he's got the knobs, Meganobs. Liam, you should be your best friend. He's got 3 squads of Meganobs.
Orcs exist. That's true.
I thought they were your baby band.
I've actually spray painted that cabinet black, so I can't see it anymore. You know, it's been removed, so that I don't have to sit in this room and look at orcs anymore.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
Who's next? We've got Josh McGowan versus Wayne Russell.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be cool.
As promised, I have mentioned Wayne on the podcast, so the quota has been fulfilled.
It's going to be a Friday.
It happened naturally this time.
It's going to be morning tea on Friday. Wayne's going to be listing, and he's going to be so sad he's playing McGowan. I can just hear him. He's going to be like, fuck.
Josh is playing Adnek. He's got multiple units of breaches, and he's playing a custom Gorge World. He's also got 3 of the Scorpius tanks, and he's also playing with a number of the new Doggo units and the new Pterodactyl Men units. I do not know the actual names for almost any of the AdMech units, so when you're listening to this podcast, please just imagine what I'm talking about, because I don't know the names of any of them, but I know what they do. That list is really awesome for board control. It shoots a whole lot, and also he's chosen the Forge Worlds for the first detachment really, really well, in the sense that the arc weapons, which is all of the weapons for the breaches, happen to explode. It's a really, really shooty list, also quite good at killing vehicles. Which leads on to Wayne's list, if one of you guys want to take away.
So Wayno's list. Wayno's running the and also we gotta refer to him as Wayno. He's running Death Guard and also the Chaos Demons. So he's got Lord of Change with the, he loves this one, the Impossible Robe, and I think he's running the one where if you do a wound on a 6+, it heals the wound and gains a wound, essentially.
No, I think he's running the extra power one.
Is he running the extra power?
Yeah, he's got 4 powers there. Yeah, so he's running the extra power, exalted power. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Because I know he loves the other one. But anyway, he's got two bloodletter bombs, bunch of Nurglings for securing objectives. They're great troops at the moment. He's got the patrol of Heretic Astartes attachment, so it's a mixed attachment. It's got Ahri Man, Sork and Terminator armor, Death Shroud, and some Death Guard Primarchs, also named Mortarion.
Yeah.
I was saying so it's Martorian. Actually, I said it the wrong way around.
So, Martorian.
So the Chaos Space Marine Patrol has the Death Shroud in it, and the Supreme Command with Mortarion allows him to get a free, I guess, battalion, essentially. Also allows him to get Arch Contaminator, and also unlocks the Death Guard stratagems for the Cloud of Flies on the Death Shroud Terminators in a roundabout way, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Very efficient. Cheeky.
And Wayne, I apologize. I actually thought you were playing. Ooh, I'm glad I think it is this. I thought Wayne was playing the mechanized Death Guard, which is why I made the comment about vehicles. But boom, Wayne's list has been skillfully adjusted right avoid all the haywire weapons. I think he's looking at this round one matchup and he's happy about that change.
It's gone from a very red to a red. It's okay, Wayne.
It's gone from like vermilion to
crimson. We're just kidding, Wayne. You'll be fine. You might be on stream.
Liam, who's up next, man?
Oh, me. Oh, okay. I'm just looking at the list. Me, literally me. Okay, sorry, I thought you were saying, anyway, that's pretty awkward. So next up is me. I'm playing Aiden Walker. So I'm playing Guard that I've spoken about on the podcast before, pretty sure. My 100 and something Valhallans that are ready to rumble, my 3 Demo Manders and my 2 Manticores. It's pretty cool because Valhallans can shoot into combat. What I really don't like is Marine Gunlines. ..
That's Aiden Waldock.
No, this is actually much more flavorful than that, and it's got a lot of cool creative stuff in it, but he is playing Successor Chapter Imperial Fists with 2 Invictor Warsuits, a couple of Impulses, characters, Calidus Assassin, Thunderfire, and 2 Storm Talons, as well as some Eradicators. The problem with this list for me is that him counting as in cover, because he's a Successor Chapter, makes a lot of my shooting just a little bit worse. Also, he's very good at killing everything that I have, very, very fast. Also, the Adeline Sight Thunderfire cannon picks up like roughly 2 squads of guards in a turn, which in terms of efficiency is very, very annoying. And to top it all off, Eradicators exist, which make me sad. All in all, this is going to be a really, really tough game for me, but I am going to yell life is cheap on Valhalla at the top of my lungs, and I'm going to move everyone down the more of the guns until there's no bullets left. That's my only plan. It's what I can do.
Yeah, and Hayden has a lot of shots, so it's going to be an interesting game.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yeah. I've played Hayden's list. It is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Very good. So next we have David Mang. David's running a Admech list. Will not be battle ready, i.e. not completely painted. Sorry, just reading that. Oh, dang, David.
Yeah, he's got a Mars Patrol with Belisarius Call and a whole heap of Scutari and the little Doggos and some Scorpiuses. So, a lot of shots, a couple of planes, which is pretty cool.
The Doggos are actually really good.
Yeah, man.
I've heard good things about them, but I don't actually know what they do.
They can fuck off 12 inches when you charge them, so you fail your charge, which is really good.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
Gotta keep up, boys.
Yeah, and he's playing Brent, who's running a really cool Death Guard list. He's got 3 PBCs, some Mephitic Blight Haulers, a couple of Plague Marine units in a Rhino, and some characters. Actually, I had a game with Brent the other night, and it's a very tough, sturdy list against a very damage-heavy shooting army, so this is going to be cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also really like in Brent's list the addition of the Little Demons Battalion.
Oh, yes.
Just those Nurgling units just make such a difference. Such a difference. They're really, really good for getting that board early and forcing your opponent to make those weird mistakes.
Yeah. You can definitely push out the control, and especially when you've got units like the Cerberus Raiders who can do a scout move. The Nurglings are really good to like get in there and hold that space early.
Too right.
Yeah.
Mm. So next we have next? Yeah, we got Braden Robinson. He's running Custom Craft Worlds. He's got a couple of Farseer's Warlock, Dire Avengers in Wave Serpents. He's got a 5-man squad of Reapers, 2 Night Spinners, and two squads of 2 Hornets each. So Hornets are really good in the meta, particularly with Marines, Primaris Marines being prevalent. So it seems like a really good objective holder and Marine killer list.
He's versing the normal blokes bus he's boy.
Nathan
Bleakley.
It's looking bleak. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
No, so Nathan's running an awesome Necron list. It's like a heavy combat Necron list. He's pretty much got Scorpic Destroyers and Wraiths just up the bumhole. And then a Catan Shard, some Lich Guard, and it's going to be awesome, man. It's like 9 Destroyers and like 15 Wraiths or something. Oh, no, wait, probably just 9 Wraiths. But yeah, looks like it. No, wait. Let me do some quick math. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 9 Scorpic Destroyers, 15 Wraiths, and a Catan Shard, which is sick.
Jesus.
So
that is a lot of slappy. A lot of slappy.
Well, what do we say he's playing into? He's playing into Abnek? No. Sorry.
No. That's the matchup. That's done.
Braden Robinson, sorry. Eldar. Yeah. Sorry, I'm losing my place. Ooh.
That's okay. So now we got Jai Kalanen versus James Fuller, our very own James Fuller. So Jai's running more Necrons. Do you want to take this one away, Denise?
Jai's running the Silver Tide. It's pretty cool. I think he's got 60 warriors, and I've dropped into BGC, and I've seen him painting a lot of warriors this week, so hopefully we get him done. It's long story short. It's got some warriors. I believe he's got some DDAs. I'm just loading up the list now, but... Warriors, Anrakia, a Lich Guard Brick, some Scorpec Destroyers, and some Scarabs. So, it's a very board control heavy Necron list. Reminds me of the list I played at ATC and did very poorly with. but different edition, right? This is way better now. One of the cool things that Jai has going for him is if he pushes up and just holds, he can hold primary in a lot of games where people can't push him away, which is really cool. And he's up against Fuller's Wolves, which is really interesting because he's got a lot of OBSEC punching power as well.
Yeah, Fuller's list is quite strong. He's running the Wolves. He's actually running Wolves, and he's got a Patrol, I believe. Let me check. He's got a Patrol of Dark Angels, if it's still the same.
Line of the Wolf.
Lion and the Wolf, which actually I actually love the stratagem a lot. It just makes two characters very, very tough, especially when he uses it on Ragnar, because Ragnar is already probably one of the most points efficient models in the game in his trusty Impulsor, and buffed even further, making him strength 7, puts him over that threshold where he can really hurt the vehicle. So it's really cool somebody actually using that Lion and the Wolf stratagem.
Yeah, I like it. James has been talking to me a little bit about his list, and it's cool the way he's gone. I tried to push him into the pure Dark Angels camp, but the Wolf is too strong, mate. He's gone with the Wolf and Bricks and the Outriders and the Eradicator and stuff. So yeah, I'm keen to see how this goes.
Yeah, it's very strong. He's versing, Jai.
That's right, yep. Ooh, next matchup's pretty cool. Dan Savage with his, how many big beasts of chaos can you fit into a big army? Versus Alex Terrison's Custodes.
So what is Alex's list? This is one that I don't know. Yeah. So he is playing Shadowkeeper's Custodes. I have never seen that before.
His list is almost the same as mine.
Oh no, it's actually quite different, isn't it, Steve? He's got a big unit of Aqualon Custodians.
Yeah, instead of Scions,
The rest, and he's gotten, the rest of it's yours.
Yeah. So he's got the same Telemann. He's got a few less Alaris. He's got a unit of 5 Alaris instead of my unit of 8. He's got the Kalexis, and instead of the Scions with those spare points, he's got a second brick of Aqualon. So I actually really like his list because Aqualons are nice because they can really just clear out hordes quite well because they've pretty much got like a billion heavy bolter shots that you can now double the rapid fire on, so you can go pretty hard on them. They could also benefit from the same Terminator strats like Ignore Neg 1, Neg 2, so it's kind of like adding another tool to the toolbox for Custodes. And he's got a shield captain on Dawn Eagle as well. He doesn't have the slippery one, but he's got the tough one, I think. Yeah.
The slippery one, mate.
Unstoppable Destroyer. That guy's my man. But yeah, I'll be really keen to see how this goes. Liam, do you want to run through Dan Savage's list?
I will very quickly get that list up, but I know Dan is playing Chaos Demons, and this is a list that, or a version of the list that he did extremely well with at a recent event here in Brisbane. He's named the list Snailtopia, which is
what a fitting
funny
name.
As hell. Yeah, so he's got a back here of Chaos Demons with the Exalted Great Unclean one, Horticulus Slimux, which is the Snail Lad, and then an Exalted Lord of Change with the Aura of Mutability, which is the dreaded shenanigans with the impossible rope people have been running. He's got a Bloodletter Bomb, 3 units of Nurglings, and a Plague Bearer Bomb, and then the feared Beasts of Nurgle themselves, 2 units of 5 and a unit of 8. A total of 18 Beasts of Nurgle, each with 5 wounds. So this lad has 90 Toughness 5, 5 up Invo, 5 up Feel No Pain wounds on the table that just keep you from getting anywhere near the objectives. And to round it out, he's got a unit of 4 Flamers. 5 Flamers even, sorry. I absolutely adore this list. I think it's really, really good. I love the Beasts of Nurgle.
Yeah.
And I love that the Great Unclean One has a bell that just brings them back. This is heinous. It is Snailtopia, and I love it. I love everything about it.
Yeah, this is great. So it's like all these the big demons are just so hard to move, right? And then on top of that, you've got these beasts that are just weapons at the moment, as well as these like hordes of like little demons like the Plague Bearers, and then you've got all this explosive damage in the Flamers and the Bloodletter Brick, which is really cool. Like, this list has so many tools, it's not funny.
Yeah. So, look, next. Next we have Paul Gurney versus Stephen Wade, and I'm going to start with Stephen Wade, so I think he's been very harsh, and he's called himself the worst Marine player ever in his list.
This is
the worst Marine player ever might well be true because he's playing Tyranids, which makes him a terrible Marine player. But I do like this Tyranid army nonetheless. Excellent Tyranid player, Stephen. Never sell yourself short. So he's got triple Broodlord playing Kraken, which is the roll 3 dice for your advance, and also has the double advance strat. On top of that, he's got multiple small units of Termagaunts. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 units of 10-man Termagaunts, which is awesome, because all of this is just throwing fearless units in synapse onto objectives. He's got a big unit of Tyranid Warriors, couple of Lictors, Venomthropes, more 10-man units in the Gargoyles, and a couple of Biovores too. But to round it all out, he's got a patrol of Genestealer Cults with a Patriarch, some Acolyte Hybrids with Flamers, and a Sanctus with the Dagger of Stab You in the Face. Overall, this list is awesome. It's a trillion units. It's even more models than my guard, but it does what I want to do even better than me, because they're all fearless and they can all move heaps. Double advance. Huge fan of this list. It's really built to play the mission. There is some killing power built into it, obviously, but it's one of those lists that plays the mission extremely, extremely well.
He's up against maybe the best Marine player in the group. Who knows? Paul. He's playing Iron Hands, I believe. What a meme.
I don't know this list. Hang on, I'm getting it up now.
It's funny that Steve's called himself the worst Marine player, and he's playing against Marines round one.
That's objectively funny.
Yeah. So Paul's got an Iron Hands battalion, I believe. Yep. So Chapter Master, Pharos, Lieutenants, a bunch of Intercessors, an Apothecary, that's Chief Apothecary. It looks like he's got Father of the Future by the looks. Yep. A Terminator unit, some Inceptors, a Landspeeder Tempest, which is not to be trifled with. Those things are real cunts. And then he's got, sorry boys, and then he's got 2 Mortar Shreds and a Leviathan with, what's he got? Storm Cannon? Yeah, Storm Cannon. So, and he's got March of the Ancients on the Leviathan. So, a pretty durable Dreadnought line with a bunch of troops. So, very, very cool.
Yes, very annoying. Those Mortis Dreadnoughts, they get characters as well. Not anymore, but you could. Remember them? Remember Rory with the twin, like, character dreadnoughts?
The other chappy dreads, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So this will be cool. I mean, it's a lot of board presence with, obviously, Steve's list, but then you've got the durable Iron Hands infantry, and it's going to be pretty tricky to chew through it, so Steve's got to play the mission pretty well here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't stand toe-to-toe in combat or close with those Marines, because they're very durable.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
I have a genuine question for the group, going into the next matchup. Bodhi Bignell versus Aaron Green. Now, when I look at Bodhi's list, do you guys remember when you were like, eight, and you were learning how to type Microsoft Word when you were at school, and there was that setting you could turn on that put those really annoying symbols every time you pressed enter? It kind of looks like this list has that. Like, there's that little symbol in front of every unit, and I feel like that's what that is. Am I wrong?
Liam, I think you just did a lot of dreaming when you were eight, mate. I don't know what you're talking about. I've seen a little symbol though. It's like a little double S, yeah.
Yeah. So Bodhi is playing Cunids, and Aaron is playing Space Wolves. Aaron, again, has a really, really good success rating with that Space Wolves army. He's been playing it quite a lot recently. He did very, very well at another event here in Brisbane quite recently with the Space Wolves. But he's up against Bodhi playing Tyranids, and he has... what has he got? This is another Kraken detachment with a Hive Tyrant, the Swarm Lord. I love the double move.
Yep.
Big unit of Gene Stealers. 30, 10, 10 units of Hormigaunts. Hormigaunts are sick for their 6-inch pile-in/consolidate. And then 2 units of Rippers, which are awesome for their Deep Strike. Then he's gone for a Jawmonger detachment, which is the get cover if you are out in the open. And in that detachment, he's got a Tyranid Prime, some Termagaunts, a big unit of Tyranid Warriors, and some Hive Guard and an Exocrine.
Yeah.
So look, this is some Ardy, this is some Obsec, this is some double moving melee, this is inside all around and up all over that in turn zero, essentially.
Yeah.
Because everything in this army can move longer than the board now. I mean, I remember in Hammer and Anvil last edition on the 72-inch board, you couldn't hide from this army. Now that we're playing on a 60-inch table, look, some of this movement might even be redundant. I think you move so fast. That he's inside of you very quick. But Aaron, just get up Aaron's list. Aaron's list is pretty sweet. So Aaron is playing Space Wolves. He's got the almost obligatory Ragnar Black Man who's coming in to chop down some trees with his chainsword. We've got Battle Eagle, Wolf Priest, some 2 units of Assault Intercessors backed up by some Infiltrators. The Blade Guard Veterans, which are the most heinous melee units I've ever seen. A Judicar to shine his lantern in your eyes and make you fight last. And then a Wolfen Squad to bark angrily at you and slap you to death. He's also got 2 min units of Fenrisian Wolves to hold some objectives, I presume, a single Eradicator Squad, and 2 Impulses with the 4-up Invo. This is a really balanced Space Wolves army. It's good in terms of taking the middle of the board and hitting you to death. And each of those Space Wolves looks like it has to kill 8 to 10 Tyranids each to get that table. But Saga of the Wolverine is what he's called it, and I think he's ready to try and do it.
Mm. It's really interesting, because the Tyranid army that can double move onto objectives is really nice to take your Obsec off, but then Space Wolves have a 6-inch heroic strap, and they just punch you back. So it's a really interesting dynamic to see what the players will do.
And believe it or not, that's 40 players and their matchups.
Wow. I'll go through each of you. I'll start with you, Luke, and then go to Liam. What kind of armies are we going to see in the top 5?
Oh.
I don't want to say players, but what armies do you think will do well at this event that will land in the top 5?
No, it's a good question. I think, look, Custodes, I think, are very strong. I think that their Obsec, and them saying, I'm on the objective, you have to come to me anyway, that really helps their sort of play style and makes sure that their units get their point efficiency. So I think Custodes are going to be good. I think the Horde Tyranids might do alright. There's a few different Nids lists there, but the Horde Nids will do well because I think that people aren't maybe expecting Hordes as predominant now, and it might catch some people off guard.
Yep.
The other one would be, look, that Plague Toad list. I'm terrified. I don't even want to face it.
The snail toad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dan Savage's savage snail toad. Not keen. what was the other one that had my mind? Oh, the ad mech list. Who had the ad mech list that was crazy?
There was the shooting ad mech list. I think it was David.
Yeah, yeah. There was one ad mech list in there that was, I thought was really good. And I was very scared of it. And then the Space Wolves. I think Space Wolves are in such a strong spot, space right now. No pun intended there, it was accidental. But I think Space Wolves are just very, very strong. Ragnar's just in such a good spot, and there's never a better time to have him just propelled into combat. So I think those are my top five.
Yeah, what about you, Liam?
Sorry?
I was going to say, what about you, Liam?
Oh, look, to be honest, the overall type of list that I'm just so keen to watch, and I normally say a similar thing, is I'm keen to watch any list that plays the mission above trying to kill your opponent. And I think there's a couple of lists, a couple of ones that Luke already mentioned that do that extremely well. I mean, the Horde Tyranid armies are sort of built to play the mission. The Demons armies that are heinously durable and take the middle of the table, they play the mission really well as well. But I, look, I've got to shoe in my boys, the Imperial Guard. I'm really hoping I can do well this weekend, because I think that my list is sort of built to do a similar thing. There's a couple of lists that have kind of got a similar premise. The Horde Tyranids, the Demons, to a lesser extent my Guard, and a few other armies out there that are really, really just built to play the mission. And armies that do that, I think, make the game really interesting. I'm super keen to see how the Demons and the Tyranids go in a meta where things die so fast. So playing the mission is just an awesome way to play the game, and I'm keen to see how people go.
You know what? Like, in this, like, meta, I guess, or this group of lists that we have, there's a lot of diversity, but you can see almost, if you want to do well at this event, there are some key gatekeepers you've got to blow through, and some of them are, number one, the Custodes, like the most prevalent faction, number two, the tough Chaos Demon lists, and it looks like number three will be, like, that shooty damage ad mech and marine list, or the GK list, like you've got, Luke, that has all this, like, explosive damage coming out of it. And it's going to be really interesting to see who ends up on top and which of the players have the best plan to manage those matchups the best. But yeah, I definitely think the Chaos lists are going to do awesome. I think the Custode lists, I'd be surprised if one of us Custode players takes the cake, but I think we'll be in the mid to high pack doing all right just for durability. I'm keen to see how the Mono Harlequins list goes, you know, Ross and Brian with their Mono Harleys. But I think, the Tyranid list will be with a real teller on how good you can play the mission with those ones. Yeah.
Absolutely. And to everyone coming to the event on Saturday and Sunday, thank you so much for coming out and supporting. We hope to make an awesome tournament for everyone, and good luck to everyone. Yeah. May you roll nothing but sixes.
We're pretty excited. This is, the first big event we've run in a little while, a 2-dayer in Brisbane finally. And if you're listening to this, hey, set up on Friday afternoon, Liam, 4 o'clock, is it, at Wellers Hills Ball Club?
4:30. I'll be meeting Josh McGowan, who is kindly giving us all the terrain we need to make this event work, in addition to a streaming table. And Ethan, if you want to mention that.
Yeah, so we'll be having a stream going with Art of War and Adam. And we've got some international guests hopefully coming in as well. Is Ben going to be on the floor doing a bit of streaming?
He is going to be shoutcasting on the day, from my understanding.
So if you want to hear the sultry tones of Ben Warrior, it'll be great to tune in on Twitch on Art of War. Lachlan Gordon's terrain 3D printing new startup is going to be doing a lot of terrain for us as well for the top table, and he's been nice enough to donate some prize support for Best Painted, so you'll be keen to see all that cool stuff on the event. And if you're not going to the event, we do have a bit of space for spectators, so if you're in the area on the weekend, drop in at the Wellers Hill Bowls Club and come say hi. It'll be a really fun day, and there's a bar, so that's all I need to tell you.
See you on the weekend, everyone.
Catch you guys, take it easy.